Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a Disney Plus subscriber and you're watching The Mandalorian, Jack and I have a podcast for you.
Every week, we'll discuss the latest episode of The Mandalorian and talk about other great content and maybe some not so great content on Disney Plus as well.
As two lifelong Star Wars fans, we have a ton of fun geeking out over all the little details of the show, and we want you to join us every Monday.
So search for Disney Plus Reviews. That's Disney P-L-U-S Reviews. Hey, Phil, how about that Baby Yoda? Baby Yoda says, "What's a podcast?"
He has sold over 7 million records, 23 Dove Awards, a Grammy Award. Time Magazine stated he may be the most often sung artist anywhere.
What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network?
Chris Tomlin.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great, buddy. Thank you.
Who was mom and dad?
Mom and dad are thankfully still with us and in the same house that I grew up in a little East Texas town called Grand Saline, Texas. My dad's a pharmacist, still is, still works at a pharmacy. Had kind of the mom and pop shop and had sold baseball cards out of the pharmacy and had a music section, had guitars and guitar strings. So from a young kid, I was around that. My dad taught me to play guitar when I was 9 years old. And he still loves, but he was really loved back then, the Outlaws. He was into Willie, Waylon, and Merle. And that was who he thought was the Trinity. In his mind, Willie, Waylon, and Merle.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars.
And so he taught me these great old country songs. That's how I learned to play guitar. And my mom worked at the pharmacy as well growing up, and just incredible. I would say an amazing, very fortunate, you know, I have two brothers, and they did an amazing job with what they had. And we come from a very, you know, very small town with not a lot of like opportunities like you'd have in a city, but we had so much, such a good childhood and really into everything we did. My parents were very, very involved. That's what I greatly appreciate and try to do myself. You know, I think me being involved with my kids comes from an example of my parents being very involved in everything I've done. And they still are. They're involved with everything the grandkids do. And yeah, a great family.
If your dad had access to baseball cards, was there a one baseball card, or was there one that you got in his store that's like, it was the card?
It was. Yeah, there is one. My dad got, being in Texas, growing up in Texas, we were big Nolan Ryan fan. Obviously, he was pitched for the Astros a long time. They ended with the Rangers. And so we had Nolan Ryan rookie card, and he got three of them. One for me and my brothers. And at that time, they were worth so much. I mean, they were worth a lot of money, especially for us. I mean, I think they were, I don't know, $7,000-$8,000 for a card. I remember he got us one of those rookie cards, and it was like insane. And so they're still in the safe, and I think they're worth about $300 now. I think the baseball card business is has been, but who knows, it may come back, we'll see. But the Nolan Ryan rookie card was like the, you know, there was all these crazy things like the Mickey Mantle and all these crazy cards that were worth like $100,000, $50,000. You were just like, what? How can a baseball card be worth this? But for us, it was that Nolan Ryan rookie card. And so me and my brothers have one.
Tell me what kind of high school kid Chris Tomlin was.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was a president of student body. I was really into sports, into basketball and baseball, and played those a good bit. We grew up in a very small school again of a small town. We were a 2A school in Texas. That's pretty small school, which means if you could actually run, you were on the sports, you were on the team, and you didn't have to have a lot of talent. So they're just looking for warm bodies basically. But I loved sports, was decent at it, pretty good student and popular kid, I guess, in a way, but kind of was on my, in my own, kind of went to my own drum, really. I don't know why, God just put that in me, but I had a real sensitive heart to God, even as a young kid. And in my youth group, I would get chances to play in my little church. My dad teaching me guitar as a young kid. Again, I was one of the only people that could play guitar in my town. So they would put me up on in front of the church and play like on Sunday nights. And I would just always love playing. And I'd always love when people would sing. And I would tell my mom that. I would come home and was like, Mom, I really like it when people sing. I don't really like it when I'm singing and everybody's just kind of staring at me and like just watching. I really like when people sing. And I had no idea. Looking back, to think what I've gotten to do over my life, looking back, I had no idea as an eighth grader, ninth grader, that God was wiring me that way, putting that desire in my heart before I didn't even know what a term worship leader was or worship music. I grew up in a little town where I went to the Baptist church. We did three hymns, pretty much the same three hymns every Sunday. And there was a guy standing in front and he was waving his arm and that we had the message and we went home and watched the Cowboys. And so that was kind of like Sunday for me. And so worship music and this whole thing was really starting to bubble up by the time I was getting into almost like a junior or senior in high school. And that's when I just started getting this desire to write little simple songs, even simple songs that people could sing and not to perform, but that people would sing, and had no idea that other churches across Texas would start playing these songs. And what I love about growing up in a little town and growing up in where I did is there was so much opportunity. There's so much opportunity, people really believing in you. And that's what I love. Just always, it didn't matter if you failed or not, how good or bad you were, they just throw you up there and you would do it in whatever sport or even at church. It was just always those so many opportunities and so much encouragement. So I look back and so grateful for that.
Do you remember the first time you put pencil to paper, wrote the song, and then played it at church? Do you remember that song?
I remember this little chorus, and the chorus said the chorus was, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And the fourth line was, praise the Lord. I don't exactly remember how I sang it, but it couldn't have been too good. And that was like the extent of my songwriting. And I'm not sure it's gotten any better, because you think about it, how great is our God? How great is our God? How great is our God? So I don't think I have like developed much in my songwriting, but that was like, I think it was my first song.
Was it a special morning, Chris, when you would go, just the second and fourth verse today, praise the Lord?
Guys, this is going to be hard to get, but stay with me here. Three words.
2020, pandemic for an artist, no touring, no church, new baby. I know you're not done, but being home, being around family more than usual. I'm not asking you to give me a definitive I'm done, but have you had a chance to really reflect on that? And has that changed your perspective at all?
I think about it a lot. You know, I've gotten to do a lot of things. God's blessed me in many ways and gotten to do a lot of things I've always dreamed about doing, especially music. And, you know, every time I make a record, I keep thinking I'll never make another one. I mean, that's all the songs I have every time. Like, that's it. It's all the songs I can write. And then it just keeps pouring in. And yeah, this has been an amazing year of reflection. Obviously, I had a baby girl. Family is full on at the moment. And I'm so glad I'm not touring, because it is chaos at the house. And I'm definitely good. I'm not gone. I could get some sleep if I was gone, but it's nice to be there. But I think that, you know, in the reflection, I know that I just feel like it's something that's such a burning calling to do. And it's not just about, you know, I always think about this question. If no one played me on the radio, if I wasn't playing on the radio anymore, if I wasn't making records that were streaming and all that kind of thing, would I still be doing it? And You know, I honestly think I would, because that's just, I love writing songs. I've been yesterday, I spent most days in this room with this piano in the background back there, and sitting there and working on songs that were just, that I feel like God puts in my heart. And so it's just kind of like a faucet that doesn't turn off. Like it doesn't just turn off. It just keeps, the songs keep flowing. And so I'm just grateful, as long as people and people still want to listen and encouraged by these songs, and we'll keep going and see where this leads. I know it'll all look different. I know it shifts and there's different stages. I doubt that I'll ever be back on these, you know, 120 cities in a year or something like that I used to do or whatever. But, you know, I really enjoy being out there and playing.
Our mutual friend Mike McCloskey was on this podcast, and Mike told me this great story.
I remember being in Uganda, 35,000 people showing up for a passion event in Kampala. We basically had to start playing music from the Jumbotron and the music to get people to start gathering in this university field. So I'm just walking around. I'm just completely floored. I've never been to Africa. And I'm standing there and I hear probably 6 or 7 9-year-old girls kind of holding hands in a circle, and they're singing 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship Your holy name.
This is before the event started. That moment was etched in me forever to go, God, how? You know, we make marketing plans, and I worked with publishing, and we did acoustic new song cafe videos, and we did all these things to try to resource the church and to get these things. But there's no way that those little girls in Africa and Uganda heard, like, that my plans, that our plans, our team's plans and initiatives got to them. And so that was the humbling part of going, Holy Spirit, You have gone in front of us. These songs are here. I don't know how they've gotten there. It's not from Spotify. It's not from anything I tangibly did, but the songs were there. And that just, I mean, that's a really humbling thing, but it sets you in the right space to know that we're part of the journey with God. We get to see what He's doing. Yeah, we can work really, really hard, but in the end, there's so much that we don't see that He's already done.
Has that happened to you, that awe and wonder moment of how did the song get to them and it overwhelmed you, maybe during a show or just a story?
Oh, buddy. That is, that's regular occurrence. One story that comes to mind that was just an overwhelming, like I was overcome with emotion, is I was recording the record Hello Love, which had like I Will Rise and God of the City and some of those songs. I think Jesus Messiah was on that record. And I was recording this record, and I had this idea to put this children's choir on this one song. And I knew this one choir. They were from Watoto Children's Choir. I reached out to them. They were from Uganda. I think I might have met them probably maybe at Passion or something when we were there. And I remember reaching out to them and said, well, you'll never believe this. We're in the States and we have a day off, and we're in Nashville next week on a day off. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. Well, we get in there, we get in the studio, and these kids are 6, 7, 8 years old, all around 6 to 9 years old. And they're all orphans of AIDS. All these children. So their parents have all died of AIDS. They're in this orphanage, and they go around. They're incredible kids, and they share the love of Jesus, and they share these songs. They're amazing. Well, they don't know me. I mean, they're orphans in this AIDS orphanage in Uganda. But and they just know that, hey, we're going in to sing a studio today. And I remember I'm behind this glass, like in the booth, like control booth, and they're out kind of in this big room around these microphones, and they're pretty, you can tell they're kind of nervous. They're not used to being in the studio. They're always just in churches and things like that. And their director said, hey, let's just, guys, just sing something just to warm up, just like do whatever, like, let's just sing something that would make everybody feel comfortable and just get us into worshiping God. And the kids immediately started singing How Great Is Our God. I was just looking, and I was looking through that glass, and I mean, tears started coming out of my face. I'm thinking, I wrote this song on a sofa like I'm sitting on right now in my apartment in Austin, Texas, just have my Bible open, have my guitar, and I'm strumming this song and I start singing this song. And you mean to tell me this many years later, kids that are from an AIDS orphanage, this is the song that they just sing, that they go to, that's just part of their thing. How in the world, Lord, do you let me get a part of something like this? And it was one of those moments where it made me, it's probably what I'm most thankful for of everything that is ever happened in my music career. I'm most thankful for when I hear people talk about how they, how these songs have been used in churches and things like that. Not, hey, I heard it on the radio, which is great and all that stuff. But like when your song is being sung and I'm not singing it, I'm not the one doing it, I didn't choose it, I'm not playing it, I'm not putting it in front of everybody, but somebody else chose that song to sing, that it's gone past me as an artist, it's not attached to me anymore. I feel like a song like How Great Is Our God has no attachment to me really anymore. It's just become a song that people, it's become the people's song in a church. And I'm just so blown away. And I'll never forget that moment. Look at those kids singing. They have no clue who I am, no clue that I wrote that song. And they're just singing it. And I just was bawling.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
A couple hours ago, I had a wonderful chat with Laura Story.
Oh, yeah.
I asked her if Indescribable was the game changer for her, and she said, oh, very much so. What song was a game changer for you? Like opened even more doors than you could get your head around. What song would that be?
Indescribable. And I'm not joking. I made two records. I could not get a song played on the radio. And I was, and these songs were now are so popular. Songs like Forever and Wonderful Cross and We Fall Down. And those are all my first records. But they're like, well, we play those on Sunday mornings, our Sunday morning praise thing. But that's not what Christian music is. This is what I would have. I remember sitting in some studios and they were like, oh, we understand that. We understand this is this worship music thing, but this is not what Christian music is on the weekdays. This is not what we play. But you're on the Sunday morning shows. And I was like, well, I think you should play this. And I was like, I was just trying to advocate for myself and saying, come on. And I made this record called Arriving. And I had all these songs. I had Holy is the Lord, How Great is Our God, Your Grace is Enough, and on this record. And I turned it in. And Brad O'Donnell, who's the head of Capitol now, he was my A&R guy. He's been from day one with me from the start. And Ed Cash is producing the record. And they both called me and they said, hey, man, you know, we got this song that you need something that just opens the door for you into radio. The church is singing all your songs, but radio is not playing any of your music. So you need something that will open the door, I think, that kind of bridges the gap. We have this song. Can we send it to you? And I was like, sure. And it was Indescribable. I remember where I was going down Congress Avenue in Austin, and I pulled up and the demo. Cash was singing the little demo. I didn't know Laura Story, didn't know who had written the song. I was just moved. I was blown away. I was like, if I don't record this song, I'm going to still play it every Sunday. This song is amazing. And I remember calling them and saying, this song's amazing. I'd love to record this. And they said, we've had so many people pass on this song, and we've been looking for the right voice to sing this song. And we think that you could be that. So it was one of the first songs I ever recorded that I didn't write. and it was a door opener like crazy for me. And then it was like, as soon as that one hit, all the at radio is like, what else you got? And I was like, well, here comes some more. And it just opened up these doors that has not stopped. And so that I love that you said that about that song, because that was a big one for me. And I'm grateful for Laura for writing it.
Do you remember the first time hearing one of your songs in a different language?
Oh, yes, I do. I wrote We Fall Down in 1997, so back in the 1900s. Do you remember the 1900s, Corey, back in those days?
I'm familiar with that.
I wrote that song in 1997, and I remember us getting a version, hearing a version in when we went. Then Louis Giglio and I went on a mission thing in 1998 and 1999 to Botswana. And the language in Botswana, which is just north of South Africa, is Setswana is the language. And I remember playing that song and then coming back the next year and this choir does it in Setswana. And I remember just going, I cannot believe, because I'd been told that, you know, I remember some people saying, man, I think your songs are going to be sung around the world. I think people are going to sing these songs in all kinds of languages. And I was like, what are you talking about, man? I'm from Grand Saline, Texas, bro. I barely can speak English. What do you mean? Like, what do you mean all these other languages? And then you start hearing them in Spanish and you start hearing them in French. And then you hear it in Setswana, this language of like, what is this? And but that was one of the first ones I heard like that.
I had your new project in my hand. And looking at your name and Lady A and Thomas Rhett, this colorful cast, which, by the way, congrats once again. And has anyone called since then and went, A, why didn't you call me? And B, when are we going to record something together?
I wrote a song recently with Gary LaVox of Rascal Flatts. And he was just like, bro, you got this record. What? He's like, hello, I'm right here. What's going on? And he said, let's record. So that really happened. I'm still waiting for Garth to call me, but he hasn't called me yet, you know?
If the phone were to ring right now, who would you hope would be on the other line to go, all right, it's time?
Oh, my gosh. That's so hard. There's so many good ones. I would love to do, I mean, obviously Garth. I mentioned Garth. That would be that'd be incredible for me. It'd be the top. I would say just in other genre, you know, I've always loved Coldplay, and I love Chris Martin. I love his, and I mean, if he was like, hey, I really like what you're doing. I really like these. Let's do one of these together. What? That'd be pretty cool.
In honor of your father, what about Willie?
That would be just, I mean, I love when I made this record, my dad was like, finally, Chris, you've made a good album, basically. But if I did something with Willie, if I could do, you know, that, I mean, Merle and Waylon are gone now, but Willie's still there. You never know. That would be the ultimate. That would be something special.
Then, of course, the natural progression is to tour with Willie Nelson, right?
That could be interesting.
just where my mind
just went. I just need my own bus. I'll just say that.
I noticed that you
have my own bus.
You still get excited when we play your songs, and I love that about you. Take a minute to tell me about this next song that's going to get into our ear holes called God Who Listens. Tell me about it.
Yeah, thank you. I do. I'm always grateful, man, and for the way radio has supported my music, and it's incredible just to see the partnerships have been beautiful. And, you know, on this, especially this last project, thinking I wasn't even trying to do this. I didn't see this coming. There's so many amazing stories in this project, but this wasn't on the plan, but God really put it together through a lot of divine ways. And to release some of these songs to radio and see how they've been embraced is incredible. This new one is God Who Listens is with Thomas Rhett. And the story of Thomas and I connecting is pretty amazing. God, only God put that together. But when we first wrote together, first to write a song. This song came our first time to sit down and write together. And I remember Thomas saying, hey, you know, my pastor's been saying this at my church, and he said, it just really hits me. I want to put this in a song somehow. He said, Chris, maybe you can help me. And it's just that the difference maker, the difference in all of this is that we pray to a God who listens. He said, of all the gods and idols that are out there in the world that people pray to and that people look to and worship, of all the different names people call on, we call upon the name of the living God, and he actually listens. And the one who created all of this, that created the oceans, the mountains, the stars, the things that just all of creation, this completely other, completely holy God, this completely untouchable God that we read about, that would draw close to us, says he draws near to the brokenhearted. When you draw close to God, he draws close to you, it says. That God draws close to you and knows your name and calls you friend and would listen to your prayer. That's just unbelievable. And sometimes we forget the miracle that is. And let's write that song. And so these little simple lyrics, I'm not just hoping, I'm not just wishing. I know I'm praying to a God who listens. I'm not just throwing out words to the walls here today, but I'm praying to a God who listens. And I feel like it's a message that people need to hear right now. Not that they don't know that, but just be reminded, you know what? Whatever's going on, all the fear, all the craziness of this world right now and the chaos, when I come to God, when I'm on my knees, when I come to God and say, we're praying, God listens and he hears. And sometimes he answers the way we want. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes in our timing, sometimes not. But we pray to God, he listens. And that's the heart of this song. And I love that Thomas and I get to do it together. Thomas called me recently when I said, hey, I'm releasing this to radio. Of all the songs on this record, I think I'm going to make this as the second one. And you know, it was hard because there's so many good songs on there that I'm really excited about, but that were very torn about which one to put out. But I thought at the end of the day, they came to me and said, it's up to you. And I was like, well, I think this is the message that would be really good for people at the end of the day. And Thomas called me a couple of weeks ago. And he said, man, I heard that our song is going to radio, Christian radio, because I got to tell you, he said, I'm not lying. He goes, I'm more excited about this single released than any song I've ever released in country. And he said, I just am so excited for people to hear this and that my voice is on it and I get to sing it with you and say these words is really special to me. So I think that's really fun. We get to carry this together.
I saw him 2 years ago in Chicago open for Kenny Chesney. And you know this, you've been to live shows before. He has that aura around him. Like there is something special happening there.
He's got it, man. He's got a special thing. He's a special person. Great heart.
Hanging on your wall at home is a degree, a college degree.
It's a degree from Texas A&M University. It is not in mathematics because I was in developmental math in college. Let me just say that. I'm just going to admit it to everybody right here. I mean, when I got tested for math, when I came to college, they're like, I'm not even sure you should be in college with your math score. It's so bad.
Let me give
you. I have a degree from Texas A&M, and I was going to go and be in sports medicine. That's where I was going to go. I was trying to get into graduate school for. For everybody who's ever been injured and needed rehab, that's a good thing I did not make that. That music was the right path for me.
Right before you jumped into our conversation, I just glanced over at Spotify just to kind of see what your big top five were for today. On top of that list is Good Good Father. You may know that song. 110,802,210 streams. That's a 4-minute, 51-second song. Times that many, I think it would take us 36 years to hear that song as many times as it's been streamed. Does that affect you when you see those numbers?
Buddy, I'm just grateful that these songs, to me, everything that just says that the song connects with people in an incredible way. And that's at the heart of the time, at the heart of the day, at the end of the day, I want to write something that connects with people. It's like, man, I want to hear that. That means something to me. And if I could do that every time to every song, you know, that would be amazing. I try every time, but there's just those I always say they're like, there's good songs, there's great songs, and there's God songs. And every once in a while, there's like these God songs come on, that God just touches in a special way that connects with people and to the heart of God in an incredible way. And that's what those kind of numbers say to me, honestly, is just like, man, this this song connects, because those, that doesn't lie, right? I mean, I was in developmental math, but that does not lie. I mean, the numbers do not lie. That's, they are, you know, they just don't. And that's what connect, you know, realize that's what connects with people.
We've had numerous times over the last decade where we've had a few moments together, and I wanted to say this to you. You're such a class act. I appreciate you. I love the way you carry yourself. It inspires me. Congratulations once again on, I just love that you pushed yourself on this country collaboration, and I'm excited that I know you still got gas in the tank.
Thank you, buddy. That means a lot to me. I, you know, to be honest, a few years ago, I was thinking, is there gas in the tank? Is there, are there any other songs that people want to hear? This last year with this collaboration and things that have come, God has just put more excitement and more passion again. And I'm really excited about everything that's coming. And so I really appreciate you saying that. And you and I've been doing this together for a long time. I mean, you're one of the legends too, in this, on the other side on the microphone. And so I appreciate you as well. And it's great to do this like this. I mean, it's one thing to do little radio interviews, but this is really fun to kind of, I love how you're doing this and being a part of it.
What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Leave some feedback, write a review, hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.